Blog Talk Radio.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb, my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stop and have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
I'm just so glad because it's actually my Thursday, tomorrow's my Friday, and I'm going to have a very big weekend, and I shall talk about that later on. I already have a guest in it. I hope it was, I think it is. Let me see. Let me bring the call on. They've been waiting patiently, so let's bring the call on. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, sorry. Hey, how you doing? Manny Medina.
Hey, Manny. How you doing?
Good. How you doing? Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, no problem. You can call at any time whenever you have a fight going on. You want a little promotion, just call in because, remember, even though the show is live, it's archived, so you can listen to it anytime you want. If you want some free promotion, you're always welcome to call in because I so love me some boxers and martial artists. And you know, I wanted to get to know a little bit more about you.
Sure.
And we're going to just go right into the questions, and then if you want to talk about yourself so I can introduce you more to the world. And a couple
absolutely
of questions are...
Thank you once again, Shelley.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. Like I said, even if you're not a guest on the show, feel free, you know, give a holler, say hi. You're always welcome on my show anytime.
Awesome, awesome. Will do.
Okay. Now, first questions are you actually in New York?
I am. I'm up here doing some training and doing some conditioning. Came up here, like I said, just trying to stay focused and stay in shape. Can't lose the condition always because you never know when a fight will come up.
Oh, okay. So, like, how long have you been training? How do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I'm 27.
Oh, you're still a baby.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I was trying to learn about you, and I didn't think you had a Facebook page. So I was trying
to
look you up. Oh, you do? Because when I type in Manny Medina, I'm trying to put the boxer, and there's tons of names that come up. I says, your name must be very popular. And I'm going, this guy looks too old, a guy with a mustache. And then, it was like a ninja.
Actually, what my Facebook is Emmanuel Medina. That's E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, M-E-D-I-N-A. And that's actually my picture is the one after my April 28th fight in Toledo. So that's one of my boxing pictures that I have on there.
Oh, because there was tons of them. And I was like, man, I don't know what it is. It's like sometimes I don't want to friend people because it's like they're going to think I'm, if I'm friends with them, I don't have any connection with them. Or if you don't know me, they'll be like, why are you friending me? So I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm going, this can't be him. I've been going through it with like hundreds. And I'm like, really? It says, I'll just wait until he's on the show. And if you want to friend me, I think my name's easy to find, Shelly Nunchucks, like the weapon. So, I'm glad to have you on there. And I even, when people are doing films or boxing or anything, if you have something come up, I'll throw it on my wall. I'll talk about you on my show. And now on with more of the questions. I mean, how's the weather down there? Is it hot in New York?
Oh, it was muggy. It was really bad. It's horrible. This night, though, kind of cooled it off. It's a really beautiful night now, and, feeling a little bit better now. Less sweaty. Less sweaty. Oh, yeah. That humidity.
Well, when you train, are you training outside? I mean, there's just so many different weather conditions when it's, like, extremely cold and then extremely hot. Like, how do you train?
You always try to time it out. I'm usually trying to get my conditioning and things that are outside of the gym as far as running. I do it in the morning, right when I can get the cool air. It's less muggy, less hot. And then usually when it comes to being afternoon and the weather's picked up, you go inside, hit the gym, hit the bags, hit the mitts, do the training with the trainers, and just go from there. So it's one of those things where you almost got to schedule, wake up in the morning. Even though you don't want it, you still have to push yourself to wake up as far as just because of training and the weather.
Yeah, and what is kind of weight are you? Are you considered lightweight? I mean, what are you considered? What's your category?
I'm considered a welterweight.
So what exactly
my
is welterweight?
That's a 147. My last fight was at 160, which was that was a middleweight.
Okay, so do you want to move up? Do you want to stay at the rank where you are, or do you want to do, like, heavyweight? Do you want to gain the muscle?
Well,
I mean, where do you want to stay?
I'd like to stay around 147, 154, just beginning to stare just because of my power. I'm, very strong with my punches, and starting off in that weight is one of those things where you do kind of – where you advance on everything else, and right as you keep going, you start advancing on the weight as well, so you're kind of – you kind of keep things even and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And when you, are you actually, of course I'm going to ask you kind of Rocky questions too, besides some other questions. Are you considered southpaw, or like what is your style? Like what are you?
I'm an orthodox. I usually don't mind switching southpaw. I've had bad luck though with it. With everything else comes a few flaws and a few mistakes that aren't always perfected just when you try to switch and do something new. So I'm mostly orthodox, been training orthodox, and, yeah, that's pretty much what they want me to stay at for my power and my strength about it.
Now, when you say power, have you ever had your, when you go to punch, have you ever had it tested to see how many, like, pounds or how fast you actually throw a punch? Have you ever had that tested?
I have not.
Have not? Do you ever think you'd ever want to do that?
I don't think so. With any of that, even just you have almost the potential of just getting hurt. It's more or less mental as well,
Mm-hmm. So, definitely. I truly understand that. And I give a lot of respect to a lot of boxers and martial artists because they train to fight, but they're actually, most of them are, they're gentlemen where they really, there's something about them, and I don't know if it's something, like in a dojo when you go to train.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I don't like to also say that I'm a fighter either when I go out because a lot of people always go like, oh, hey, well, let's see how it is and all this. And try to keep it on the low key as far as that.
Yeah, but you know what happens is the more you get shown, people are going to know you. So it's kind of like fighting and training. Like I was training in a martial art myself a little bit here and there, like in capoeira and tai chi, and I've done a little bit of that. And it's kind of like you become a better person. And I actually, for me personally, I mean, I like watching boxing and watching people, their forms in martial arts, but I actually hate fighting. I just like want to do the forms, and I'm actually, you know, want to learn on my own. And
right.
I just wanted to know some more questions, if you don't mind me asking.
Oh, absolutely not, Shelly.
Okay. Are you the only fighter in your family?
I'm not. I've actually, I started from two older brothers. The oldest brother, Fabio Medina, who lives out in Washington State. He's actually right now, he's the recent United States welterweight champ. And he's got a couple other belts, the Cam-Am belt. He's got the Northwest belt. And then, obviously, I have my other brother, Jose Medina, who recently fought under the Amir Khan-Danny Garcia fight. And you know, just kind of, it's been running in the family ever since.
Oh, wow. Since you have brothers, okay, I've got, this might be a difficult question. If they, you know, you guys are, like, ever, like, in the same rank, do you think it ever come down to it that you guys would have to do a fight against each other in a ring?
You know, it always comes up, and that's funny. You know, we do spar each other. We'll train with each other. But, you know, to get into that mental state, you know, it's who gets the best of each other. And, you know, just something that we never will ever think about.
Well, that's good. Well, what motivates you to keep training for the next fight?
Oh, boy, just I had some break. I had some time off of it. I'm wanting to get right back into it. I have a little baby daughter that I wanted to just kind of show her of her father and then her uncles who also do the same sports and everything else. And mostly just to kind of, you know, just to have her own stability, but then also just to kind of do the what-ifs. You know, I don't want to ever say that, I showed up there. What could have happened if I did or not? And just pretty much that, you know, it's just very motivating to be in shape, always stay in shape, always being focused, and just the people around you are always awesome. They're always polite. Like you said, they're really gentlemen. They really are great people.
Yeah, because I even remember that show when I was still living back in Boston, where I'm up in Maine right now. I remember there was a show, I forget the name of it, but it was involved with Rocky, and it was a bunch of fighters. I can't remember the name of the show.
Contender.
It was kind of like a reality show. What was it?
The Contender?
Yeah, that's what it was. And it was like showing the guys they wanted to fight. I never finished watching the series, but it was like they have a lot of heart. And some of them just made me cry when I was watching the show. And it's something where being boxers, it's like they, even though they're fighters like yourself, you seem to be very humane human beings. And it's just, you know, because when you're in the ring, you're this fighter and you're like this lion. You know, you're the predator. And
absolutely, it's a big switch. It's like flipping on the switch, you know, lights on, lights off. And maybe when it's in there, you're really focused and you get that fighter out of you.
Yeah. And I totally understand that. Like I said, I trained a little bit in a dojo and it was like, you know, you can hurt someone. The thing is, I mean, maybe it's different for a boxer because when I was in capoeira, and I don't know if you know anything about capoeira when you're going with an opponent to play the game, two people go in a circle, and
yep,
you kind of go at each other. The thing is, I actually knocked someone out. I knocked a girl down on the ground, and it made me nervous because I was like, after that, I was like, I felt like I can't really bring it because knowing that I could really hurt someone, and I'm really like not a violent person. So I'm sitting there going, you know, I'm just like, I could have the power to actually really put my fist through a wall. Now, what I want to know, okay, when you're fighting, how do you flip that switch? Do you know what I'm saying? When you're in there, because you're one-on-one, you've got this big crowd around you, and you're really kind of like a fighting machine, not a killing machine, a fighting machine. You have to get into that switch. How do you do that? How do you switch from being, you know, every day and then being this fighter when you get pumped up? I mean, how do you do it mentally?
It starts just like a career. When you go to work, you're going to work to make your living, to kind of expose yourself and also expose the people that are around you because everything else, you know. And with me, it starts right from when you get to to the fight event, to the main place where you get from the locker room, you automatically want to switch it there. You know, you're focused. You remember everything that you got taught, and it's time to put it out there. It's time to put to work. Go to work for what, everything that you've trained for and put it out there. You know, it's the same thing with you get what you train. You know, you're definitely going to get out of what you train. So, and if we're training so hard, that's what we're going to put out, you know, and it's, like I said, it's like going to work. It's time to go to work, make that money, make, you know, make the people around you and support everybody that's been around you, so.
Yeah, and I was wondering because since, like, okay, I'm not a really chick flick kind of girl. I love, like, action films and stuff and, you know, people doing stunts and everything. I wanted to know, do you actually, have you had any injuries?
No, not really. No.
Okay. Because I've never watched your fights, and I was trying, before you were on the show, I'm trying to, like, bring you up, and it's, like, all these different people. So maybe once I find you on Fight Facebook, I can actually bring some pictures, you know, onto my Facebook and see what you're more about. Because I was like, I wonder how many fights you've done. And it was like, I just wanted to know, like, how many fights have you had in your career so far?
I've had my amateur career. I was 26-3. I had a really awesome trainer. I had an awesome trainer who was pretty much like, you know, like a Rocky thing. We trained in a barn. That was our training thing. And we believed that with our skill and everything else, we could go up against those that were good, you know, that were doing it constantly and stuff. I've had 3 pro fights. Like I said, I had taken 5 years off. Went through the whole family situation, you know, trying to take care of my daughter, and then the other part of it, which is the breakups and everything else as far as that, so, you know.
Yeah, well, it's something, I guess everybody goes through something, and when you go through, you know, mistakes or whatever in the past, it just makes you stronger and a better person, so when you move on, when you have things like this, the good things to come with your training and your, you know, your focus to do something, when you step into that ring, it's really, you know, that's, you know, where your heart is, and boxers,
sure,
they are like Rockies. I mean, everybody's different in different styles, but they're fighting for a goal, and you have it in your heart, and I bet that's what I'm getting a feeling listening to you, that you have a lot of heart, and you really want to make something for you and your daughter. And that's what I give a lot of credit to boxers, because I see that they're very family-oriented too. And it's a weird concept, because here you are, you know, becoming this, like, almost shock in a ring. And it's like, then there's this other side where it's sweet, and it's, you know, and if you call a guy sweet, that's a boxer. It's not supposed to be offensive, but you just see this side, and it's very tender and caring. And then when they're in the ring, it's kind of like, whoa, watch out. And
You're in there to do the same thing that your opponent's in there to do. You know, he's doing his job, and he's in there to hurt you. So, like once I said again, it's that switch that you flip. It's the life trials. It's the falling down and dusting your pants off, and then going through that. So that's pretty much where that goes from, and where that comes from as well.
Yeah, and that switch is that really is important. And I have a couple other questions.
Yep.
Do you have an agent, and hopefully, maybe not, I don't know, Don King, or who's your agent?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, not Don King or anything of that. I'm under just with Adriano Marcharelli and his team. I'm really happy what they've been doing, all the progress. A lot of the things that have been happening have been mainly because of Adriano and hanging around his team and stuff, so. You know, and I recently, actually, that's funny, too, because he had called me, and he goes, oh, man, I'm very sorry, I won't be able to make it, I can't do it. And he was, just send my apologies, and so he apologizes for not being on the air as well, and, you know, he's doing his best to get what the best out of me as well.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't know if you were involved, I didn't know the whole thing, I didn't know if you were involved in a film with Adriano, or when you say team. So what is your association with Adriano?
His team and the people that he knows in boxing and everything else, and just the right people that he can get, you know. It's having the right people behind you. That's always important to do for a fighter, is because it's mostly mental, too. When somebody can't do anything, you just have to have the right people, the right mentality, and, you know, him playing as a boxer as well. And it's just, so pretty much being with him in the scene. You know, I did a boxer in a movie.
Oh, so that's the movie. Are you actually able to talk about the film? Can you tell me a little bit about the film?
Cannot comment on it and stuff,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't too sure because I thought Adriana was going to come on and talk about it, but, you know, if you can't call in, I totally understand, but anybody can call in any time, and I've just started the show, and I was given the show and learning how to run it by myself, so it's kind of like I like to have more guests on, and once again, you're welcome again. And I want to know, okay, one more question, then you can tell me about how, you know, your life and stuff and how you got into it and, you know, what inspires you. I have one question, and I want to know, what the House of Blues card? I mean, I heard you fought the House of Blues card. What was the outcome of that fight?
I had a first round knockout.
How many minutes was it?
I think I knocked him out within the first. I think it was 2 minutes, 2:15, within the first 2:15.
Wow. So
yeah.
Are you fast? Are you like really fast? I mean, how do you move on your feet? Do you really,
I definitely have good footwork, you know, like I said, things that play in with what they look at me is what we improve in. And definitely my power as far as, like I said, the way they want me to stay orthodox and stuff. And yeah, you know, they're confident with my skill and the potential that I have. So yeah, definitely the speed, the footwork, which is always a main important thing. And I'm just placing them in the right spot. You know, like I said, when you go to work, that's what you're going to go do is execute on the things that you've perfected and can perfect more in. But, you know, you've got them tuned up, so put them out there, and that's what the outcome comes out is a first round knockout.
That's interesting. I just, like, when you get into boxing, okay, now I know you said it about your family. What I know you have brothers and stuff. Was it because your brothers you got into boxing, or was it any other reason, or is it just something that's in your heart?
You know what? It was kind of like that. You know, I wanted to go to college and play football, do my other things, because I was a really good athlete, you know, and it obviously runs in my family. And just mm-hmm. after not going to college and hanging around my brothers, it was something that I was like, this is something I could do. I love the athleticism. I like the dedication and the hard work it takes in it. And once again, it's one of those things where you don't want to go through your whole life saying, I'm not going to disappoint myself. I cannot. And just one of those things.
And did you, besides your brothers, because I know they must have been big inspiration, when you were growing up, did you have any other idols or role models that you looked up to?
Chavez, who was just a Chavez, was definitely the person we looked up to.
So is that, if you don't mind me asking, is that a boxer?
Oh, yeah, Julio Cesar Chavez, yeah, a great fighter, great Mexican fighter, always those wars with De La Hoya, you know, there was always those Mexican rivals, and just being around my family and going to fights and a lot of gatherings, you know, family gatherings, and when it's fight night, we gathered up, and, you know, that's what it was, and we really favored Julio Cesar Chavez. We looked up to him, and he's still to this point. You know, he's got a son that's doing awesome as well.
That's really cool. And I know you're like, I know you're training in New York right now, but where do you originally come from?
Mexico, and I live in New Hampshire, and I grew up in Idaho.
What? How did that happen? Can you talk about that?
You know, we lived in California. My father just got offered a job, and he looked at it as what's better for his family. And, you know, it was definitely awkward and really odd to go from the city life to way up in the mountains near it all, half an hour from British Columbia, Alberta, you know, where pretty much the Pacific Northwest, way up there, you know.
Wow, but Idaho, you go from, like, Mexico to, like, how did that, I mean, do you remember, I mean, how long did you live in Mexico? Were you just born there? I mean, how long did you live there?
I was about a year old, and then we moved to California, and then, like I said, my father got a better opportunity, and I, like I said, he just thought about for his family, and matter of fact, I used to when I went into high school, I used to work. We knew a family friend as well who did drywall. So every summer I would just take the time, instead of hanging around with the same kids, trying to get, you know, staying away from trouble. And I just went out because I liked working. I didn't mind work.
Well, this is a good spirit. I mean, did you have any trial and tribulations growing up?
Things, you know, that like every other kid has them, you know. Once again, and it's not going to school, and you don't want to feel like you're disappointing yourself. And that's one thing that most people don't want to do is disappoint themselves. So,
yeah.
It's just one of those things, those mental games that life plays, that you really just want to push yourself out of those holes and stuff.
Yeah, and you said that you actually have a different trainer than before now?
My amateur is training right now. He's about close to 80 right now. He gave us names of other gyms, like Jimmy Farrell, who is out of Quincy and stuff, and he just pretty much passes on to good people. Like I said, once again, circling around, coming back to Adriano and stuff, and, you know, getting the right deals, meeting the right people, having them behind you is actually the support, which is more support because you need the right support for mentally and everything else and stuff. So, you know, one of these things that I can't really go too far into it because it's all work in progress, and it's just what we're working on and trying to stay focused on the main goal that's in front of us and keep it in front of us, you know, always something new.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, I thought he might have called, if he would call in tonight, who knows, maybe he'll have time because I wanted to talk about his other film, Irish Whisper, a couple other things. What is funny is I actually went to a premiere of Scalpers of Jay Giannone, right? One of the guys that call my bros, one of my brothers, and I run one of Jay's fan club pages. And when I went to the film premiere, all the people, like, on my Facebook page and everyone on there, some of the people were actually at Jay's premiere of Scalpers when I was there, and Adriano was there. But I didn't really know him at the time, and it's funny because we were there, and, you know, it's just weird because now it's here I am talking on phone calls, talking on the internet people, and I was like, man, I wish I would have gone up to Adriano, but I was so focused in watching Jay's film. You know, that's why I went there, to support Jay, and I'm a very big fan of his, and he's one person. I don't know if you know Jay or not.
Matter of fact, he's one of the guys that's behind Adriano and the team and stuff. You know, I've talked to him personally and stuff, and it's, like I said, having the right people, and he's one of them, and very happy to what he thinks we can progress on and go on from there, you know, getting deals, getting the right fights, and setting up for something big.
That's kind of cool, because he is a hard worker, and every time I see something, I get so excited, because he inspires me, and I mean, there's so many things where, I mean, who knows, maybe I'll work with you someday, or I'm like, I want to work with Adriano, I mean, doing my own stuff, and, you know, people like you and Jay and Adriano, you know, connecting with you guys, I seem to connect with men more. I don't know why, if it's the stunts, the martial arts, or the boxers, because I like doing a little bit of my own stunts and fights, and I'm doing films now myself, the lead and everything, and I just feel more connected with men, and like I said, it's people like you and Adriano and Jay are people that I want to work with. Now, it's just, I mean, if somebody gives me inspiration, those are the people I want to work with and connecting, and you seem really down to earth. So it's something where you never can tell because nothing's impossible, even though I am where I am. Who knows, maybe about in California someday, who knows, I could have an investor for a film and be like, hey, I might need a boxer. Hey, I'm calling you up.
No, you know, that's definitely it and stuff, and, like I said, it's having them around and doing these things, you know, and like you said, having the right people and just see whether it's not in the same sport or anything, it is that motivation, you know, the hard work, everything that they've done.
Yeah, and I just have an idea, and I know we can't talk anything about the plot, I just have a feeling what Adriano's doing, I'd probably love it, because I'm an action chick type of girl, and, I mean, I haven't seen his other film, Irish Whisper, and I think some people from the independent film The Fighter with Mickey Ward, that story about him. I think some of the actors were in Adriano's film, Irish Whisper, and there was a lot of Boston actors.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, he gave me a small little thing, and it was pretty cool. I seen those small little things, and it was awesome.
What did you just say? I just zoned out. My phone just zoned out. Did you say you had a part in the film?
No. I saw like a small little clip that he happened to show me, and I loved it. It's very catchy, very good. And even like you said, even the people from The Sopranos were in it, and just really awesome. It looks really good. I can't wait when progress and everything else gets done, because definitely looks catchy. Really nice, catchy name, and looks awesome.
Yeah, and I was trying to YouTube Irish Whisper, and I actually did, and it had this teaser trailer, and it had Irish music in it, and I was trying to find stuff about Irish Whisper. I was like, man, I just, because when I...
I don't think that's the one.
Yeah, but I think it says Adriano in the bottom of it. Maybe I could be wrong, because I posted it on my Facebook, and I was like, oops, my bad.
Yeah, right. Hey, Shelly, listen, I got to get going. I got to get some rest. I got to hit my road work in the morning. Once again, I so appreciate everything, Shelly. I definitely hope to look forward for everything else and just being in contact with you and, like I said, just being around it. So.
Well, thank you, and I feel very honored for you calling in and being a guest. And after you get off the phone here, make sure you friend me on Facebook so I can learn more about you and maybe catch your fights every now and then. So, you know, hang in there and have a good night.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Shelly, and hope to see you or even be on there.
Okay. I'll be on Facebook right after I get off on here.
Oh, perfect. Awesome. Once again, Shelly, have a good night, and thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, and it's an honor, and, you know, good luck out there.
Pleasure meeting you as well. Thank you very much.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was kind of cool. I got to look him up on Facebook once I find him. And, wow, it looks like another guest is calling in. This is going to be a busy night, I guess.
Hey, it's Adriano.
Hello, caller. Hey, I'm so glad you called in. Well, your ears burning because we were talking about you left and right.
I heard it. I heard some of the stuff. Yeah. I'm glad I called him before he did the radio show. I'm kind of an hour away from him. And, you know, I'm working on a movie out here, and I just wanted to make sure that he didn't say anything that he shouldn't be saying on the air.
Oh, okay. No, he was a perfect gentleman, but... From knowing about boxers and martial artists, they might be fighters in the rings, but he's actually...
How I connected with him was actually I'm doing a movie with a couple people that were in Irish Whisper, a couple people that were in The Fighter. I'm doing a boxing movie. I actually play a main character. Guy by the name of John Fury wrote the script. And
I know John.
John's awesome. And I went to go in a boxing training. I was 205 pounds, you know, in good heavy shape, you know what I mean? I used to bodybuild, but I had to get ripped up and look like a boxer, so I went to Jimmy Farrell's gym. He's actually a good friend of the family. He's pretty much like family. I mean, Jimmy's a two-time world-class trainer. And I went to him, and I ran into Manny, and, you know, I ran into his brother Jose. They're both amazing fighters. Now, you know, I always loved boxing growing up, and, you know, I never actually competed or anything like that or any exhibition fights. I mean, until now, I mean, I've sparred a couple people and, you know, trying to get in the mix of things for this movie because I want to get to my full potential for this film. And, you know, I Manny's like my brother, you know, we've had a good relationship over the course of each other hanging out. And so I connected with Jay. I mean, you know, Jay Giannone is my cousin, and you know Jay as well. He's a hustler, and he was one of the producers on Friday Night Fights, and I know Mickey Ward's cousin was one of my producers for my movie, and Sean Eklund, Mickey's nephew, was in my movie as well, and he's a boxer. He actually has a fight in Canada coming up, so you know I'm like you know I'm trying to you know go wherever I can, and, you know, in this business, whether it's acting and writing is my main passion 100%. But if I can, you know, get a good boxer and, you know, promote him. And, you know, I don't commit to myself in anything if I don't have my heart in it. And I definitely have my heart in this kid. I mean, he's talented. You know, I'm constantly on the grind for him. He's training like a beast. You know, I'm calling him up every day, making sure he's training hard and eating right and doing the right things. You know, his brother, Jose Medina, just fought in the Amir Khan HBO fight. And, you know, he's a great fighter. I mean, this family's, you know, these Mexican kids from Boston, that's what caught me. You don't see Mexican kids from Boston. You hear like the Danny O'Connors or the Irish guys, Marco Tulacan or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You rarely ever see some Mexican fighters coming out of Boston, Massachusetts. So that was I definitely want to bring these guys, you know, out to the West Coast, and you know, I've been consulting with my cousin out there, and he's been talking to his crew out there. You know, we just got to see. Right now, I want to get this kid as many fights as I can, and then bring him out west and, you know, have him spar in front of, you know, top names. You know, there's been names circling around. I can't really, you know, discuss anything over the year. You know how that is.
I totally understand.
But names have been circling around, and, you know, Manny's been working under me hard. And, you know, I got a movie out here in New York. That I'm doing, and then I got another audition in New York on Sunday. So, you know, I'm obviously focused on my acting, but, you know, I just want to be focused and make sure that he's doing his thing up, you know, because he's an hour away from me. So, you know, and then Jay's like a million miles away from me, and it's, you know, Jay's like, I talked to him the other day, he's like, yo, what's up, Cuts? I'm like, Cuts, is that where your bus is? You know, what's going on? He's like, I'm going to the casino, and then I got to read a million and one scripts. The best thing about, you know, my cousin, and, you know, he's always working hard, you know, and he's been out there for years. He's been out there for 15, 16. I mean, this kid's really, really working hard. I mean, he loves acting. I mean, I had a conversation with him the other night, and he's like, you know, cuz, it's not the money. It's the passion of the acting. I love doing what I do. You know, the money's great because I got your family. I got a daughter in college. My cousin Kelsey's in college, and, you know, his other son's playing hockey, and that's an expensive sport, you know. And he's like, it doesn't matter about the money. It matters about the passion behind the writing. Mm-hmm. If I see a director and I see a writer and I see passion behind it, whether it's an independent film or Hollywood film, I want part of it, you know. And he's a very humble kid, and you know, I'm very proud of him, but, you know, I'm going to be 27 on Sunday, and, you know, my stay here out in Boston is not going to be very long. I'm probably going to be out of here in September. You know, I've connected with a lot of people out in Los Angeles, so I'm like, this is the step, this is the next step of my life, you know, so.
Yeah, I totally understand, because I came up to Maine to make a couple of films to do a lead, and I had to go through a lot of things, and I just believe, like, you know, hearing what you do, you have a lot of passion and a lot of heart, and whether or not people believe my age, I'm 41, and I just don't want to stop. Like, my dream is to work with Jackie Chan.
You can't stop with your dreams, you know, you can't stop. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people out in Boston. I think I've talked to you about this on the last show, but I'm sober now.
That's very good. The last show,
it was more or less of, you know, a lot of these people that do these independent films already think they're Hollywood out here, and you know, and you know, there's a lot of good talented people out there. You know, I'd like to name some names if I could. You know, like Brian Goodman, he's a friggin' amazing writer. You know, Michael Yeba, actually. Michael Yeba is a Boston guy. He's residing out in L.A. You know, John Fury, amazing writer.
I know those guys. John, I was actually a bouncer with him in a film. So I've worked with him a couple of times. Yeah, I've got a picture, and the film never really went anywhere. But
Yeah, there's a lot of good talented people out here, but then you got the clown cats that, you know, they think they're Hollywood already, and it's like, I got to get out of here. You know, and I'm just keep writing and writing and writing. And, you know, Irish Whisper right now, I can finally say, where we filmed Irish Whisper as a pilot. We had the Fighter Girls, we had the Sopranos, a couple of the Sopranos cast. But now I can say on the air that we've gotten funding and we're going to reshoot Irish Whisper as a full-length featured film, and there's going to be a new casting. Jay Giannone is going to be the main character with me in the film.
Whoa, seriously?
And,
I'm so excited right now.
And we're going to get a couple other people from the Fighter back in the cast. You know, we're having some of the cast back, and some of the others, you know, we couldn't, you know, find a spot for because the script is a little bit different. And Irish Whisper is not going to be the same name. So there's a lot of different things going on with the script, but it's the same storyline.
Yeah, you'll probably improve it and make it better, and everybody's got to start somewhere. You know, you're just going to retweak it. You know, I can't wait to see it. I mean, it's very hard where I am because, once again, up in Maine, they don't show a lot of the films. I mean, they have theaters, like, back in Boston, but the thing is, most of the films that I want to see, they don't show here. So I know for a fact, after I'm done with two films, I'm getting out of here.
Well, what we're doing right now is, I mean, we want to go on demand. We want to put it on demand. We want to get an on-demand deal after we film this. And, you know, I mean, anybody can see that on, you know, if they have cable. I mean, I think everybody can see it, right, if it's on demand. They have Netflix on demand. We're trying to do that. I don't want to put my fucking film out of my language, but it stresses me out. But I don't want to put my film in just a stupid, oh, come see the screening at a, you know, a local Chinese restaurant. No, I'm acting like a professional. I don't want to, you know, follow around these cart clown crowns. You know, it bothers me because it bothers me so much because a lot of people make the shittiest films and then they talk about shit about people who are actually making films, you know?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you feel. I've got, you know, I don't want to mention names too, but I'm going through the same thing and I've only done indie films. And, I mean, you know, I feel for you. That's why.
Prima donnas,
yeah.
Man. Prima donnas. They're all prima donnas. And you know what? You know, a lot of people, even my cousin, why are you so controversial? Why do you? I'm like, dude, I'm a fucking Giannone, bro. I'm a Masciarelli. I got two Guinea sides on my family. And I'm, you know, and if I don't like something, I'm going to call it out. I don't care if you're, you know, Mr. Hollywood already. If I don't like you and, you know, you're degrading me coming up as an independent filmmaker, I'm going to say, hey, what, buddy? F you, I don't care. Because we both put on the same friggin' shorts at the same day, same time. You know what I mean? So
yeah, you've got a good enough chance like anybody else. If you have passion, and I can hear it, you're like, you got another, you're like one of the ones like the eye of the tiger. And doing what you're doing, I give you a lot of credit. Yeah, that's it, the eye of the tiger. I should be having that song on my playlist channel. I should play it just for you.
I definitely want to, you know, I definitely want to touch base with you, maybe. You know, I'm like I said, I'm pretty friggin' busy, but we can talk off the air, you know, and chat, any questions or anything you need. Just let me know.
Yeah.
But I want everybody to know out there that's listening, Manny Medina is going to knock some piece of shit out his next fight. So.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know what, the thing I'm going to let you, I know you're probably going to have to go, but to keep this in mind because it's a good piece of advice, believe me, you know what the best revenge is? The best revenge is becoming successful. That's all you have to remember.
Of course. Money talks and success talks. That's it. But I'm about to get naked again. I'm about to get naked.
Oh.
I'm about to step in the pool.
So. Oh, are you getting naked? Come on now. I saw your pictures on Facebook. You're going to leave me hanging here? I'm going to be all sweat and bothered, and my hormones are going to go off the wall. I'm only human now. Cut that out.
Hey, next radio show, it's going to be X-rated, so I'll let you know.
Hey! No. This is supposed to be fun, love, and not horny and hot. You know what I mean?
I know.
So well, you have a good night, and call in anytime.
Yeah. I recommend that you know, you don't try to see my movie. It sucks. It's not a good movie.
Okay. Well, you know, you take it easy and call
it
any time.
I'm thinking if the film industry doesn't work out, I think I'm going to make a boy band. I'll let you know. But I got to go.
Okay, I'll be talking to you, and I probably can talk to you in private about a big idea about something. So I'll write to you on Yahoo so you'll hear about it.
You got it.
All right, I'll talk to you later, and thank you so much for calling in. Call in anytime, Adriano.
Thank you for having me on the show. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. Well, that was so sweet for me. I love me some boxers and martial artists and stuntmen. So I'm having a good night tonight, enjoying myself, having some sexy men calling in on the show. Like, woo! Yeah, Adriano, yeah, I saw him without his shirt on. I don't mean in person, but he had pictures of no shirt on in his Facebook. I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, I have to take a cold shower. I have to start chewing on some ice because the kid's kind of built, and if he's been training for boxing, oh, my gosh, I'm getting all hot and bothered just thinking about it. But anyway, I'm not trying to make this an X-rated radio show, but it is kind of funny, you know. I love in-shape men. What can I help it? I can't help it. I'm just a woman, and, you know, it's like, you know, men that are in shape. I think it's more normal for, you know, like someone who's actually in shape and ripped and, you know, that is actually moving and doing things. I like, you know, the Shakers and the Go-Getters, the Rockies. That's what a big turn on. And the guys that I know, like the two guys that I just had on the show, first one was Manny Medina, and he was a boxer. And as you can tell, intelligent. He's not like some stupid animal. I mean, most boxers, they train very hard. And you can just imagine, man, the stamina for training as a boxer or a martial artist, being in that ring, I'll never know. But, I mean, I've seen things growing up and just seeing how they are. And they have that switch to turn in a ring. It's like, whoa. And then it's like if you go to sit and have a conversation with boxers, it's like, how can that person be in the ring? But I guess that's where all the training is and where their heart is, and they have that eye of the tiger. And I guess that is just like the Rocky films. And they're very compassionate people. And I tend to think anybody that's a martial artist or a boxer or anybody that trains, they seem to be more humane. And I think it does depend on the coach and the trainers, you know, just like in Rocky with Mick. And, yeah, I cried my eyes out when Mick actually died in the Rocky series. That just broke my heart. But, you know, I think it also, if you have a good teacher, I mean, that is true. If you have a good teacher, you're Mr. Miyagi or whatever, they're the ones that will actually train you and make you become a great fighter. But I think it's also to, no matter what, you train hard, and you do the best. Maybe you might not come out number one in that ring. It's just that you're there doing your thing, and you're not letting anybody stop you. And, you know, going, you know, training for anything, and even to do a role for a film. And I know this, and I gave Adriana a lot of props, too, and, you know, training for a role. I'm sitting here thinking for the film Falcon, they're actually going to have to train us more, because now we're doing the before scenes and after scenes, like afterwards. And I actually have a very big scene on Saturday, so I'm very excited. I don't know everything that's going on, but it's one of my scenes for the film Falcon. And Falcon, once again, is created by Horace E. DeLisa. And he's showing four women that are actually become Valkyrie, where four different type of women, and my character is more like a long Rosie the Riveter. Not really called that, but you can picture the type of characters. And if you listen to how I sound, my accents, it actually fits into the character. And I think I have a little comedic stuff going on in the film, not saying anything, but I'm good for a laugh there, and I love making people laugh. And, you know, I'm not a black belt or anything like that. I've only trained a little bit, 2 years on and off in Capoeira. I traveled with the group to a couple different places, Team Astoria in New York. I think I went to Hingham, Massachusetts, a couple other places to actually, you know, do some shows and stuff. And that was really great. I mean, I actually got into training at a dojo over something that happened in my life many years ago. And it wasn't a happy time, but I said, you know what, I'm not letting anything stop me. So from out of a bad experience, which was one of the biggest mistakes of my life, I actually stepped into a dojo, and I didn't feel sorry or feel pity for myself at all. And I said, I'm going to do this because I'm doing this for myself. I've always wanted to train in martial arts ever since I was little, and I've actually you know, looked up to Jackie Chan my whole life since I was a little kid. And the boys from my neighborhood, it's, you know, we were the nerds, we were the geeks, you know, and we used to have the bullies, yeah, I know. But, you know, going over to one of the neighborhood kids' house, this wacky kid, Brian, he says, oh, we got to watch Cannonball Run. Now, we wanted to see it for Burt Reynolds and Captain Chaos. I had no idea when I was little who Jackie Chan was. So we're watching the show, and I think I mentioned this on before about Jackie Chan before. On the Cannonball Run movie, Jackie didn't really speak English that much. I don't know if he knew English that well at the time. When he came here to the United States, I mean, he was already big, but here at the time, Burt Reynolds was big. So I don't think that many people in America, except that really knew Jackie and watched his stuff, maybe not mainstream Hollywood, knew who Jackie Chan was. So when he was in the film, what caught my attention about Jackie, he got out of a car and he was smiling. His smile made me smile. Now, I was very little, like I said, a little kid at the time, and I looked at Jackie. And I just watched him. He's like this kick up in the air, and he had this big smile. I think he ripped his pants in apart, and he just smiled. Ever since then, because of the boys from the neighborhood from years ago got me into watching Jackie Chan. So throughout my whole life, I've seen Jackie, but I never admitted to seeing him in the films. I had no idea who he was because we didn't have access to the internet. You just see things on either like Kung Fu Theater. Everything was dubbed. I mean, you know, cheesy films and everything like that. So, you know, throughout growing up, I'd see a film. Then finally, when you get access to internet and stuff and more, I found out who Jackie Chan was, just learning everything I can about him. And learning about Jackie Chan's life, you know, getting his book, I Am Jackie Chan, reading that, it just inspired me. And learning that Jackie, when he was little, his parents had assigned him into a drama theater academy. And from what I found out in reading and learning about Jackie Chan's life, in growing up in this drama theater martial arts academy, you know why he's so good? Well, Jackie Chan was always good at doing stunts and fight scenes. Because when he was growing up as a child, I think he was in there for about maybe 12 years in this place. If he didn't do something, like if he didn't do a flip or anything, they would give him a beating. Now, I don't know, maybe nowadays it would be called child abuse. I don't know. But they trained him so hard, and they would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they would train. They would do so many. They would do flips. They would do balancing. They would do martial arts. They would do drama, Chinese opera, for so many hours and on end. And he was always hungry. And I think I know why Jackie Chan was always hungry, because when you work out that much, I mean, probably about 12 to 14 hours a day, you're going to be burning off so much energy, you're always going to be hungry. So Jackie, he actually, his brothers, you know, they're not blood related, but Jin Bao and Samuel Hung was in there and became part of his, you know, part of his family. And Jackie Chan considers Samuel Hung and Yun Bao as brothers. So throughout his life, after he left the drama theater academy, because I guess at the time Chinese opera was dying out and all the action films were coming in, Jackie wanted to go out on his own. You know, reading about Jackie's life, you know, he went through and made his mistakes, and, you know, he was, you know, kind of spunky. I guess if you want to say that, a spunky monkey, and he went through his mistakes. Like I said, I read his book, and it didn't make me cry because, you know, learning that, I think Jackie lost one of the loves of his life. I think she was from Asia, and she was this girl. She was a famous singer, and I think she died of asthma. Now, it's really strange to think that someone can die of asthma. I don't know, maybe at the time they didn't have what they had nowadays. I mean, I don't know the whole story, and it's just something when you hear this stuff and you read it, it's kind of like you feel for it, you feel for Jackie, because what he wrote in his book, it shows him more about being a person. So then what Jackie Chan had to go through, where I feel like I can relate because doing my own struggles and stuff, Jackie had to prove his worth, because at the time Bruce Lee was very popular, and he entered the Dragon, Jackie Chan actually got to be in the film Enter the Dragon. There's actually a scene you can actually, you know, look on YouTube. Bruce Lee is actually snapping Jackie Chan's neck in the film. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. And I probably saw Enter the Dragon so many times, but then finally finding that, I'm like, that's Jackie Chan. So Bruce Lee's actually snapping Jackie Chan's neck in Enter the Dragon. So Jackie had a, I mean, even though he was becoming big in Asia, he wanted to make a splash in Hollywood. And he had to work hard. So it's kind of like in my own life, everything, it seems like it's going, I mean, it's later in years. It's not the same years as Jackie, but it seems like my trial and tribulations are going like the same lines as Jackie. I mean, maybe that's why I can relate to Jackie Chan. So going and proving, you know, what my worth is. Now, I'm not a big-time stunt person or anything. I just do what I'm doing. I'm an actress that likes to do summer bowling stunts and summer fights, and I do know for a fact, like Adriano, you know, he's training for that film, and I can't wait to find out so much about it. Maybe next time Adriano's on the air, he can talk about it, because I'm so psyched. Like I said, stuff like that, like fighter films and stuff like that, I love. And I just can't wait. I seriously cannot wait for that to be in the theater to see it. And I wish Adriano all the best, because he's got the heart, he's got an eye of a tiger, and it's something that I do see in also the boxer that was here tonight on the show. And I'm actually up here in the studio, and I got Jackie Chan Kitty with me, and she's chasing around a spider now. Well, I guess she's she's earning her keep, so she's chasing this spider around the house. So it's nice, and as you can tell, it's nice and quiet in my studio. I get to live in peace, and it's really nice. It's very calming and peaceful. I got a little bit of a waterfall in my backyard, and it's just very, I mean, I can't explain it. You can sit there, and it's just wonderful to be able to have this waterfall in the backyard, and it's just the river and everything in my backyard. Now, that's deep, you know, any swimming pool or anything like that, because it's just beautiful to sit and to meditate in, you know, a place where it's just very calming, and it's nature. And there actually is, you know, it's kind of like the city here, but at the same time, it's so far away from Boston, it is kind of different. And, you know, from being living in the inner cities my whole life, you know, just being around there, as you can tell, my accent's very thick and stuff. But anyway, to get back to Jackie Chan, you know, he had to overcome so many obstacles just to show his worth in Hollywood. Yet the thing is, now that Jackie Chan's older and people saying, you know, he's not as good as he used to be and blah, 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 this and that, that's kind of really disrespectful, because Jackie's done a lot. He's done over 100 films. And, you know, no matter what anybody says, I'll always have respect for Jackie. People can tell me things, but as you can see, I'm sitting talking live on the air. I have very much respect for Jackie Chan. And it's just something, no one can change my thoughts. I can just listen to people's opinions, and everybody has a right to their opinions. But, you know, as people get older, you know, I don't know, maybe because he's Asian or because he's Chinese, people just want to push him over the side like he doesn't matter, like he's just, you know, not useful anymore. But, I mean, the mindset of how people are, if you really think about it, Jackie Chan's 58 years old. He's accomplished over 100 films. He sings, I mean, he can do recs, produces, he's been doing voiceovers for films and so many different things. And from what I found out, I thought, you know, oh, maybe Jackie Chan never had a radio show, but I think he owns radio stations. Jackie's worked so very hard for everything, and maybe it's just jealousy. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's what I tend to think it is, and I also tend to think in my life, I think there's people that are probably jealous of things that I do, and I'm like, no, it doesn't care, because, you know, it doesn't matter, it doesn't whatever, because people that aren't in my life, they don't matter. They're just little whatever, and I sit here and think, you know, I have a really great life, and I have a lot of freedom that a lot of people, by the time they get to be my age, they don't have the freedom that I do. And having the people that are positive, to have teachers that actually help me to improve my growth as a human being, and training in martial arts, you know, it's just basic stuff, and I want to go beyond the dojo. I don't want to compete. I want to learn better form, you know, and to always want to stay in better shape. And I've been slacking on exercising lately, because I've been doing so many things, running the radio show, I've been putting together story, which I just got copyrighted. It's a children's story. And I've had it for so many years. And it actually had to do with a pet I had. It actually came to me, and it's called the Skeptical Ferret. And I actually wrote this years ago for some of my I wanted to dedicate it to children. And it was actually, at the time, I actually was doing some dedication to some kids. I babysat my friend Brian, his daughter and son. I don't know if you remember me, Sean and Emily. And, you know, it was kind of like wanted to dedicate it to them. But it's like I've met so many kids over the years, so I actually dedicated my children's book, The Skeptical Ferret, to all the children that I've met throughout my whole life, where a lot of them have grown up now and probably having kids of their own. Another person I want to dedicate my book to is actually my big brother, Horzy. He's inspired me so much, and he's taught me about strength and how to be a strong woman and, you know, not to take advantage of people, not to use people, you know, to have a job and to work with that job where you have a job and you work on that till your dream actually becomes your only job. So I've been lucky where, you know, I have this radio station. I'm doing some writing. Like I said, I'm publishing The Skeptical Ferret, and that's something I'm really excited about, where I just have to finish a couple of tweaks on the book, so I'm very, very excited about that. It's just a short story, but I will be doing more. And, I mean, there's so many other things I'm involved in. I'm called South Hair, which you can actually look up, which Horace Lisa is actually the mastermind behind that. Another person, you know, once again, my children's book is also dedicated to Jackie Chan. Yes, everything comes back to Jackie, but once again, he's inspired me my whole life. And I don't think if Jackie Chan wasn't my idol, I don't think I would be inspired to do everything that I'm doing right now. And I'm sitting living proof that even though I've had a crappy job in my, I mean, you know, in the past, or a crappy life in the past, right now, this is the best of my life while me is at 41. You know, I'm very happy, and I'm happy-go-lucky, and just to be able to do what I do, I feel really blessed. You know, I know not a lot of people are going to be able to do what I do, and, you know, you sit there at home, and it's not really down anyone that's on, like, welfare or in the projects, but I always say that, you know, if you move and do things, you know, you can actually make things happen for yourself. You know, you don't have to sit there. I mean, you can improve your life. You can go to school. I mean, you can do anything you want. Nothing is impossible. If people are telling you things are impossible, well, it's negative. That only means that they can't do it, or they're just, you know, they don't have the heart to do it. Now, if you have a dream or a goal, and people are negative toward what you're doing, like films and such, you know, those aren't the people that you want to be around. And if people belittle any of your dreams, you know, at least start doing something. And that's what, you know, I mean, what does it say with these people who are making fun of you? Or, you know, what your dreams are, they have nothing better to do. But the funny thing is, if you happen to have haters, you know, like Adriano says, and he's going through it too, you know, if you happen to have haters, I mean, that means that they have no life. And it's just really sad, because if it's something where they're obsessed with you or something, and this can go on for years, it means they have no life. And even though you have nothing to do with them, they just hate you for no reason. That's because you're having a better life than them. So, you know, I mean, who has the last laugh? The people that are actually the movers and the shakers, not the people that are sitting down on the couch and being lazy bums. So I do understand the people that are motivated, the people that are the Rockies, the people that got the eye of the tigers. They're the ones, the dreamers, you know, the movers, the shakers. They're the ones that make the difference in the world. They're the ones that make the magic in the films. They're the ones that have the sparkle in the eyes. Other people are like sharks, and they have dead eyes. And, you know, they want to take advantage of people, of their good energy and such, and they suck you your energy like vampires. So what you got to do, get away from it all. And I did. And I'm so happy that I did. And I do have to thank Horace Zaliza for that. So, you know, you never know where your life is going to go. And if people are listening to me, I hope I'm inspiring you. You know, you can do whatever you want to do in life. Maybe it's going to take you a little while to do it, but believe me, every time on the show, like I said, I want to work with Jackie Chan. And, you know, maybe I can't do what, you know, Jackie does. At least, you know, there's a few things that I can do. I have experience in improv in a theater. I got paid a couple of years to do comedy improv in a theater shows. I did Joanne Maria's Talent Comedy Wedding, A Big Head Bridesmaid. I did that for about a year. Then I became an original cast member for Clatabing, and I did that for a little while. But sometimes when you outgrow something, you know it, and you move on. It was fun at the time while it lasted, and believe me, doing the shows, making people laugh, it wasn't a paycheck. And Adriana, if you're still listening to the show, you are right. Because when you do the show, when you're entertaining people, people coming to see you and doing the dinner theater shows, I didn't care how crazy it was. One of the shows, I actually used to do swing nunchucks around, and after it, you know, like I said, I outgrew the show and just move on. But, you know, with the Clatter thing, I mean, it's just something I got to be more of a character. My hair was really big. I don't even know how. It was, like, as big and tall as Marge Simpson. But, you know, it was a comedy part of my character. And then when I let my hair down, people thought I had this wig or something in my hair. I don't even know how I actually got my hair up that high, but it used to be really huge. Anyway, making people laugh when you're doing dinner theater. You know, maybe someone's having a bad day. You know, someone comes to see a show, you make them laugh. You can change their whole world, you know, just from taking them to get, you know, help people forget their problems. And you're doing the show, and they're laughing and have a good time. When you're doing the show, you don't think about if you're getting paid, a paycheck for acting. You're actually thinking what's going on that show and making people laugh, not the paycheck itself. So, you know, I wanted to grow even more besides doing the dinner theater show. And what had led me into acting, you know, was stepping into a dojo and training in capoeira. I said, it's something I wanted to do, and it just happened in a time of life. I said, you know something, someday I'm going to be talking about this on Oprah, how I came into the dojo and everything like that. And so, well, for now, I'll just talk about it on my radio show, and it can be listened to over and over again, and it's like I can't even inspire myself. And I was just, like, listening to my show. But the coolest thing is I went to check something on the status on my shows. You know, I'm just a beginner. I've only had this for a couple weeks. Now, I keep posting on my Facebook page, you know, about my show if people want to watch it. And I guess it can show you the statistics of, you know, how many people watch your show. So, I mean, not watch a show. You listen to the radio show. And I tried to listen to it a couple times myself because I want to see, am I doing okay? Do I suck or whatever it is? And it only let me show one time of listening to it. And I listened to my shows a couple of times, but I guess I didn't count because it's only one view per person, no matter how many times you watch. And I'm like, okay. So on my show so far, a couple of the shows, I think maybe we had about 6 or 8, one of the views of the show was about up to 500 people. There was a couple other ones. There were almost up to 500 people listening to the show. So it's like there's 500 different people. I mean, even if people listen to a couple times, there's actually 500 people that actually had listened to, you know, my shows, and I'm like, really amazing. It says, really, do I have that much to say? I don't know. Maybe I'm kind of interesting. I don't know, because I can talk for like 2 hours like it's nothing. But, you know, sometimes I might talk more than an hour. I do have a two-hour show, and, you know, it's very interesting where if I was stuck in, you know, life that I had years ago, I never would be doing any of this thing. I never would be doing a children's book. I'd never be doing any of these films. So it's kind of like I'm doing everything I've always wanted to do in life. And I'm very thankful and I'm blessed because every time I get up in the morning, you know, I just think I'm one of those women that when you know, your feet hit the floor, you know, the devil gets scared. Because I don't sit and whine and complain about my life. I just live life to the fullest, and there's so many things I want to do. I want to learn how to fly a plane. I want to jump out of a plane. I know people think I'm nuts for wanting to do that. I mean, there's so many things. I want to go hang gliding, you know, jump off another bridge. I want to go up in a hot air balloon. I mean, there's so many things that I want to do in my life. I just, like, live life to the fullest. You know, one of my big things is actually going to China. So even though I can't go to China just as yet, I actually, a touring company, Touring, T-O-U-R-I-N-G, I wrote to them, I emailed them if they could send me a package about tours of China. So I did that, you know, doing my own kind of, you know, looking into things because I do want to go to China someday. And it's just something where I want to see the terracotta statues. I want to walk on the Great Wall of China. You know, I want to go into the Forbidden Kingdom, you know, find out Well, I kind of do know what Jackie Chan actually works, but, you know, I mean, there's so many things that I do know about Jackie, but, I mean, people, they sit there, they're like, you know, if you know so much about Jackie, you know where he lives and everything, why don't you go to his house? Well, that's not the proper way of doing things. You have to show what your worth is. And that's why, even though, like, a fan of his fan club page, and I've got actual real pictures of Jackie Chan, you know, not just like pictures of Jackie Chan, I actually have. So it's kind of like, you know, all these things getting closer and closer to my dream and to my goal. Now, I'm not going to be doing the stunts that Jackie does, but I know I'll be working on, you know, a film with Jackie Chan someday. And this has been going on 7 years. I've been working every day for 7 years, every single day. And when I mean that, you know, I already work a full-time job. You know, I paint a roof over my head in a house. I mean, it's up to here in Maine, but another thing is I don't think I'm going to be staying in Maine for the rest of my life. I actually want to go to California. And I actually been looking at places in California. I'm like, wait, these places are actually cheaper than the places out in Maine. And I was thinking the opposite way. Well, different places, but, I mean, 3 bedrooms, I'm just like, you know, for the price, it's even cheaper than Maine. It's just, you know, I think it would be nice. I never really wanted to before, honest to goodness. I really didn't want to move to California. But thinking about California, you know, I think I want to move out there because no more winters. I mean, that's a big plus. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't belong in Boston. I don't belong in Maine. I feel I should be living somewhere else. So it's kind of like, well, I have to do 2 films. I have to do my film, The Dishwasher, which is dedicated to Jackie Chan, to thank him and everything. I mean, that's still got to be filmed, hopefully, in another month. I got to see how the schedule goes. And I'm going to say right now, if any of the cast and crew from my film, The Dishwasher, is actually, you know, listening, I really think, you know, it's something where, you know, I'm trying to get the date for it. We're going to film it on a weekend. And the weekend before, you know, anybody that's doing the fight scene with me, you know, you're going to have to rehearse on that Sunday before the, you know, that weekend. If you can't make that rehearsal for the fight scene, you're not going to be in the film, in my film, The Dishwasher. I don't care who the person is, but if it comes down to it, you know, I'll have one person do the fight scene with me. I'll have it just one person. I mean, if people can't make it, it's fine. And I just want to make it short and sweet as possible. I mean, that's what I want to do. So that's just my first film. Now, one of my other thing on a second film, what I really, really want to do is I actually want to actually work with the EMC Monkees. And actually, the leader of the EMC Monkees, his name is Zen. I think that's how you say it. Sometimes I have, I can't pronounce names right, but it's X-I-N. He was actually Jackie Chan, one of Jackie Chan's disciples. And, you know, I've talked with him, not really a lot on the internet, but, you know, have a connection, I mean, being on the internet. And I think the EMC Monkees, I just really think that their films are amazing. They have that where if you watch the EMC Monkees, E like an elephant, M as in monkey, C as in cat, EMC Monkees, you watch their films, they're amazing. They have that where they just have the energy. They just go and go and go. And I'm like, what do? They have to eat more than bananas. I mean, do they take energy drinks? And like, maybe it's because it's you know, maybe they trained as martial artists. I don't know about each individual. And I would love to have the guys from EMC Monkees on my radio show. I would love to have them in the future. And then if he ever called in, I don't know, I think I'd lose my mind. I mean, I think he's pretty cool. And he actually, like I said, I just watching and he's considered the urban ninja. And let me say, Zen, X-I-N, you know, that's his name. But let me say, he's the original urban ninja. If you look on YouTube, you're going to see other urban ninjas. No. I think this white guy is really stupid. I mean, really, it's like he's saying he's an urban ninja. He's not a martial artist. He just runs and he scares people. And he just does that, and he calls himself an urban ninja. I said, no, don't even go there. And then, you know, from EMT Monkey, he's the leader. That's the urban ninja. So the urban ninja is actually the leader of the EMT Monkeys. And remember, the urban ninja was actually a Jackie Chan disciple. So remember that. That's who the urban ninja is, not this idiot running around, like, pretending like he's a great ninja when he's not. He's holding his hand up running, scaring people. Now, what's sad about it is if he does it to someone, what happens if somebody had a gun or something? This guy gets shot. I mean, he's just coming out scaring elderly people. I mean, you think it's funny, but seriously, that's all he's doing, and he's calling himself Urban Ninja. That's not filming. That's nothing. That's not even acting. He's just doing this stupid thing, and people saying, oh, this is funny. And this is kind of like relating to stupid reality shows. Most of them are really retarded, and it's kind of like, you know, I don't know what happened to TV. I stopped getting TV over a couple years ago. I refuse to pay hundreds of dollars for TV and crap that I don't even want to watch. I mean, I don't know what Hollywood is thinking. If Hollywood gave a lot of money to a lot of independent filmmakers, I bet they could do a really good job with even $1 million. Because Hollywood spends millions and millions of dollars, and sometimes I watch a film and everybody's talking about it, and I go, okay, all right, this was millions of dollars. I've never been so bored out of my whole entire life. And, you know, once again, when I talk about a film, it's not to do with anything personal, but everybody's talking about it, I'm like, okay, how did they spend millions of dollars on this film? I don't get it. You know, maybe it's the price of the actors and such. I mean, I don't know. I don't run Hollywood. I'm not, you know, like I originally come from Boston, and I know people are not standing that right now, but I kind of don't care because I'm at the point of my life where I'm happy and content of who I am, which I'm Shelly Nunchucks, and I inspire to work with Jackie Chan. And I ask God for a bigger voice. And, you know, I try to make this fun. You know, if people want to call in, they can call in at 877-907-7217, toll-free number 877-907-7217. And, you know, if you want to talk about films, of course, if you want to talk about Jackie Chan, I'll be out to talking about Jackie Chan. Anytime, any place, talk about Jackie Chan. Anyway, you know, there's a lot of things that people don't even know about Jackie. I mean, there's a big Jackie Chan community. And actually, Jackie Chan has a Facebook with over 27 million people. Yes, I actually have Jackie Chan on my Facebook page. And once in a while, he'll put a picture. But, you know, because there's so many people, and they love Jackie. I mean, Jackie Chan fans, they're like, utterly amazing. And they kind of, most of us stick together. I mean, it's something where we just understand that Jackie is amazing. And not everybody's going to agree with it. Everybody has their own opinion. But the man's worked his butt off his whole life, you know. And there was one time when I was watching at the end of Jackie's film. He was doing, I don't know which one it was, but every time Jackie Chan's films, he has these bloopers of all these stunts that have gone haywire, like gone wrong. And I live to see these mistakes, and it's like, it's so bad because poor Jack, he's got hurt so bad, and I just like, I feel for you, Jackie. I respect you, Jackie, but you've seen those bloopers, I just can't stop laughing my butt off. And there was one, he was actually tied to a rope, but it was in a bridge. Jackie actually got mad. It's just really funny because I don't know what had happened, but he was mad, and he was like, he swung off the bridge, and he came swinging down, and he's like, his arms are waving, and he's like, oh, no, like, Jackie Chan was mad. He's like, just swinging, and he's like, all mad up in the air, and I just have to find that clip, because it's really hysterical, because he's like, what are you doing? He's like, yelling in the air, and I think he was yelling at his stuntman, like, you screwed up this rope or something, and I forget what film it is, but to see him mad, he's just hysterical, because Jackie's so serious with stuff that he does, but if you see, he tends to have that, you know, from what I know, he likes Buster Keaton, and, you know, he loves the Three Stooges, and knowing that back in Boston growing up, the Three Stooges were on Sunday mornings on a station called 38, so Sunday mornings had Albert and Costello, and had, you know, it had the Three Stooges, and it was like all day long. And I guess now you can YouTube Three Stooges, and it's kind of funny because I guess back then, the Three Stooges might have been, I mean, this was before Jackie Chan's time, but the Three Stooges, I mean, they considered that very violent, but you go to look, watch the Three Stooges nowadays, and it's like you see all this crazy stuff, and I still like some of the Three Stooges stuff because they're just knuckleheads, and I mean, I think they did most of their own stunts, but I don't think they got paid that much. I think the Three Stooges kind of got screwed over. I mean, just the whole, I think they had a biography type of film about the Three Stooges, and it was really a sad ending to the way their lives was, and I just give them a lot of props for the stuff that they did through. I mean, what is his name? Larry, the guy that had the curly hair. I actually heard he was kind of bald, and they used to super glue his hair to his head, and they used to rip his hair off his head, and, you know, actually seeing one of Jackie Chan's films, it was actually from the Three Stooges where you put your hand up to your nose to block, you know, someone poking you in the eye, and Jackie actually did that in the film. I was like, that's a Three Stooges move. And one of his, Jackie Chan's film, he was hanging from a clock tower, and that was actually from a Buster Keaton film. So it's like all this stuff. I mean, Jackie Chan has, like, inspiration stuff that he likes. And one of the films that Jackie actually got to do, and I don't care what anybody says, I actually like the remake of Karate Kid. And Jackie Chan did a hell of a job. And, in fact, in 2010, I think I did mention this once again, Karate Kid with, you know, the remake one with Jaden Smith, which I would be glad and honored to work with Jaden Smith. I don't care, to each their own, but yeah, I like the whole Will Smith family. I love Jada Pinkett Smith. I love Will Smith. I love the whole family, and I wouldn't mind working with any one of them. In fact, I worked with Jada Pinkett Smith on a film, the remake of The Women, and I didn't get lines or anything, but it was kind of, you know, she was very sweet. She actually stood up for me about something, you know, maybe I'll talk about it later, but and I'll never forget that. So Jada Pinkett Smith, thank you very much. I do say thank you once again. You did stick up for me on the set of the remake of The Women, so I do appreciate that. And if I ever do get to work with you again, Jada Pinkett Smith, I'm going to give you a big hug. I'm just going to say thank you in person and just give you a big hug for that day that you stood up for me. So thank you, Jada Pinkett Smith. I mean, Will Smith, he's a spaz. I mean, come on, Will Smith, you know, you just got to love him. He's just that spastic guy that you just got to love. And his films, I think he's getting back into what he really is. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing more Will Smith films, too. But getting back to the Karate Kid, the remake, and people don't understand why Jackie Chan did this because they're like, oh, the remake, anything. Actually, it was a pretty good film. And just to clarify things up, and maybe people understand this point of view and look at it different now. When Jackie did the remake of The Karate Kid, he wanted to play homage for Pat Morita, Mr. Miyagi, and rest in peace, Mr. Miyagi, Pat Morita, great actor there. And Jackie wanted to play, you know, a Mr. Miyagi role because he liked Pat Morita. So Jackie was given homage to Pat Morita, and he felt very honored. And you're going to sit there and tell me if any guy didn't have a chance to play something like a Marlon Brando role or Robert De Niro, Andy Garcia, any of those guys, you're going to tell me you're going to say no to a role like that. So Jackie wanted to play homage to Mr. Miyagi, and it wasn't like, you know, your typical Jackie Chan type of film, and he was in it. But, you know, Jackie wants to show more of his emotions. Now, people don't get it. I mean, people that probably aren't Jackie Chan fans, they don't see the range that Jackie Chan really gives. I mean, they only seen him for his stunts and stuff. But there are films out there where Jackie shows a big range of emotion. In the remake of The Karate Kid, there's a lot of people that don't want to see it, complaining about the remake of the film. There's a part where Jackie cries, and it's so emotional, and I sat in the movie and cried. Anytime I see Jackie Chan cry, I can't handle it. I just, like, lose it. So in the film, the remake of The Karate Kid, there was a part where he was connecting more with Jaden Smith, who played Dre in the film. So Mr. Han was the character, the Mr. Miyagi, Mr. Han. You know, they were sitting in a car which he rebuilt in his house, and he was going through the whole film building this car, and he started destroying it, and Jaden Smith's like, what's going on? And I think Jaden Smith had lost his father before he went to China. So Jackie's talking about his wife and his kid died due to a drunk driver. So he's sitting there, he's showing the emotion, and he's crying, and he's tearing up. And if that doesn't show emotion for Jackie. I don't know what does, and showing, you know, Jaden and him relating. And that's emotion. And Jackie has that. And what Jackie does, and I think I'm going to take it into my work, when Jackie gets really red in the face, he puts his head between his legs. Yes, I swear to God, Jackie said this, when he wants to get really red in the face, he puts his head between his legs, and that's how he gets the real red in his face. And that's one of the secrets about Jackie. And there's other things that I know, and I'm not going to give them all away. You'll have to find out them for yourself. But I'm a true Jackie Chan fan, Jackie Chan girl here. You know, and I cannot wait. December 12, 2012, Chinese Zodiac. Cannot wait, Jackie. I'm very, very excited. You know, I can't wait to see them. And I kind of think he's now working on another film, a comedy action film. He was just in, you know, with the Olympics where he was doing a song. I think it's called either Beijing Bless You or something. He did a song with some other superstars of China. And, you know, I don't know all the names, but I recognize the faces. I mean, you've seen other countries like Bollywood and such. I can recognize the faces because I like those type of films. I like other films from other countries, too, not just here. And, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I can recognize faces. And most of the time, the videos and stuff, they're in other languages, but everything's subtitles. And I've gotten used to watch subtitle movies, but most of it is Bollywood or Asian action films. So, you know, stuff that I like, I mean, to each their own, whatever anybody else like, I just know what I like. I like what I like because it's what I like, not what somebody else is like. You know, I don't ever in my life, I never did something because a guy has done it. It's not my cup of tea. I'm not going to, like, do that just because of, you know, anybody in my life that I'm connected with. I do it because I want to do it. And, you know, I'm a strong woman here that does what she wants to do in life, and I'm not letting anybody stop me. You know, I'm not letting anybody get in the way of my dreams. So, you know, getting back to Jackie, you know, he's just someone that I want to work with. And once again, my book, The Skeptical Ferret, I actually am, you know, he's one of the people that I'm actually dedicating my my children's book, The Skeptical Ferret, to. So it's kind of cool because, you know, there's other things that I've written years ago, and I think I'm going to start publishing in this stuff, and it's kind of something where I'm very excited about because now I'm getting more chances. And years ago, I never thought I would be doing any of this. And, you know, it's kind of a blessing, you know, and I'm very happy. And, you know, networking with people, and I'm very thankful and feeling blessed that more people are coming into my circle, you know. And, Adriano, you know, I wish, if you're still listening to my show, I really wish especially a couple of the actors that were at the Scalpers premiere, I wish I would have known you guys were there back then. I wish I would have known, I would have came up and I'll give you guys all a hug. You know, but I was there to support Jay Giannone, and I'm just very happy and thrilled that Jay Giannone is, you know, he's getting a lot more work. And Jay, if you happen to listen to my show, Jay Giannone, I'm so proud of you. I try my best on the Jay Giannone fan club page on Facebook. I run that, and I totally support his work. I love what he does, and I just watched Safe. This was in April, and it's coming actually on Blu-ray. The film with Jason Stratton. Now, I've seen Jason Stratton's film. He's good at what he does, but, you know, once again, I'm a Jackie Chan girl. And Jason Stratton was a great guy, and Jay Giannone got to work in the film Safe. So learning that, you know, like Jay's been there for so long, and he's now starting to get more roles. And I'm not talking as a background, as an extra. Jay Giannone is actually getting, you know, more and more, you know, characters in films. And I'm very proud that Jay's out there doing his thing. And I hope someday I do really get to work with Jay Giannone. I mean, seeing all the stuff, you know, him coming from Boston, I've lived in the same areas in Boston that he has, and Jay Giannone, you know, he went up to California. You know, he took the bull by the horns. He was friends with Mark Wahlberg, and that show on HBO, Entourage, is actually about Mark Wahlberg's and Jay Giannone's life. And then Jay just meeting people, Leonardo DiCaprio. You know, why do you think Leonardo DiCaprio did so well in the film The Departed? Well, he actually had Jay Giannone help him. So Jay Giannone helped him guide and coach him in the film The Departed, the one that, you know, the one that's in Boston, a Martin Scorsese film. So Jay took Leonardo DiCaprio around in South Boston where he lives and such, and it's something where you're talking about your Boston accent and listen to Jay, and that's how Leonardo DiCaprio did really well in the film because of Jay Giannoni. And Jay did a lot of, you know, worked with a lot of people on set. He's worked with George Clooney in Three Kings, you know, Ice Cube. He's worked in a film, you know, Gone Baby Gone. He was in that film. Actually, he was in the bar scene with Casey Affleck and I think was her name Bridget or Lisa Monaghan, the two main characters were actually auditioned for that film. I didn't get that role in that film, but, you know, Jay was actually in that bar scene, and Casey Affleck's in there, and I guess Jay Jr. was being a big mouth and just telling him what's going on, and you think Jay's going to get his ass kicked in the film Gone Baby Gone. I mean, Jay's done a lot of films. I think it's What Doesn't Kill You Make You Stronger, and he played, I think, a druggie in that film with Mark Ruffalo. I think he was in a scene with him there. He was in a film called Selfie, and I think Jay was working with Donnie Wahlberg in that film, and I think I remember him actually going up to the car. I don't know if he was trying to sell a radio, if that was the scene. I think that was Jay. And Jay generally has been doing many things, and in fact, I took a song of his, and actually what I had wanted to do, because I wanted to take pictures of stuff that I've been doing for the past 7 years and put it in a video. Now, you know, there's so many things out on YouTube, and I just want to start to learn how to do editing and stuff, and I'm trying to make other music videos. I just haven't had time. I'm doing so many things. And I asked Jay, because one of his songs called Inspiration, it actually inspired me so much. I'm like, Jay, do you mind if I use your song Inspiration? So Jay allowed me to use his song Inspiration for one of my videos that I put together. And it's something, I think I titled Winter Sports. I can't remember what it was, but the song's Inspiration is throughout my whole entire 10-minute video. Then what I did is I actually made a video for Jay. And it takes so long to do this. Like I said, I'm learning as I go. I took Inspiration, and I took pictures of Jay's pictures from his Facebook, and it takes a long time to do this. It was actually, I thought it was 3 days, but I think it took me a little while to do it. And I took his song Inspiration, all people that he's worked with, you know, the big actors, and put it in the film for Jay. And it was something that I just felt so honored and so lucky and blessed to be able to do this for him. But also running the fan club page, why I wanted to do that is because I think Jay Giannoni, he just really, really deserves so much more. Because he's so hardworking. He's a great father. You know, he's been clean and sober for a long time now. And I give him so much credit. So, you know, with every time Jay does something, I'm so excited because that Jay Giannoni inspires me. And it's something where every time he does something, I'm like, I got to see what Jay's doing. Because, you know, people that he's trained with, James Wu, which is one of the biggest stunt guys out in Hollywood. And you got to look up James Wu. He's really huge. He trained people on Tropic Thunder and many, many things. And James Wu actually trained Jay Giannoni. He helped him train for this short film called Intrepidation. I forget the name of the film, but Jay plays a bad guy. It's a short film. It was shown in theaters, and I loved it because Jay Giannoni, he can turn it around, like do a 180 with a character, because you sit there and he talks normal, and then he plays these evil villains, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, and that scares me because, you know, if I sit there, if I have talked with Jay a couple times or, you know, write it on the internet, he's like, he's doing these scary villains and bad guys. It's like, oh, you know, scary. You know, because he's a good guy in real life. So, you know, he's done many things, and I'm just still so honored that I could do a page for him, you know, a fan club page, because it helps focus me and it keeps me in the zone. And I think he's actually doing another film right now. He's either, you know, doing a film or he's training for a film. And speaking of training, there's another big-time martial artist, Arnold Charm. I love the guy. He's crazy as anything. He's nuts. He's fast and everything like that. He helped train Jay, I believe, for the film Safe, the one with Jason Stratham. So it's kind of something where, you know, I mean, this whole circle of you know, getting to know these stuntmen and knowing all these things. I love it. I mean, it's stuff that I grew up on. I was not, you know, I had some Barbies, but I was playing with G.I. Joes, and I actually liked Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, and oh, my God. Now I can't even fix his name. He's the one who actually plays, what's his name? I'm going to have to actually Google it. He actually plays Snake Eyes. Hold on. I am actually Darth Maul. Let's see. Hold on. Darth Maul. Let's see. Why do I always forget his name? Because he doesn't have a Facebook page. Darth Maul. Let's see. Images. My gosh, I can't remember. Ray Park. Yeah, that's it. Oh, my God, the guy is so sexy. Ray Park, the guy who played, like, Darth Maul. That's who he is, because I think he was originally from Scotland, but then he went to England. And, you know, it's really funny because when you look at him as Darth Maul, you're like, it's scary. Because he's a good guy, because at the Comic-Con of conventions, I didn't meet him. I mean, I know people that met Ray Park at Comic-Con says he's a really great guy. I actually watched YouTube's about Ray Park, and oh my gosh, he was doing a flip with someone else I know, Don Hin Kiyobosa, was showing, and I think, I don't know if he was in the video or not with Ray Park. Ray Park had a kilt on and did some flips with a kilt on or did a spin in the air. I was like, man, is that kilt going to go up? But Ray Park, he's good at what he does, and it's kind of like amazing that he did the kilt and the spin. And, you know, he's another martial artist. He's really great at what he does. He played Toad in X-Men. He did many, many things. And another guy who I think is really great, Don Hin Kiyobosa, which I think, you know, means sausage, he's actually kind of amazing. And he actually had written a book, I'm just pulling up Don Hin. Oh, he's got a T-shirt. He's got a T-shirt saying Confucius. Oh, okay. Don Hin K. Why I know about Confucius is because he actually wrote a book. And I think that book, if I think I'm saying this correctly, it was his experience of working in the Shaolin Temple. And, you know, I tagged him off of Facebook, you know, I guess he's really busy and stuff, and it was really kind of cool that he actually friended me, and, you know, seeing the stuff that he's actually gone through to train in the Shaolin Temple, I mean, that's no joke. You know, you actually have to sit outside before you go in to see if you're going to even get selected to train in the Shaolin Temple, and from what I've seen, you know, some of the pictures with Don Hin, I guess when you're training in the Shaolin Temple, if you don't do stuff respectfully, they hit you with paddles. And he had, like, all these marks on his back. And I'm like, oh, my God, I mean, how many people can actually do stuff like that and actually survive? And he survived all the training at the Shaolin Temple. And so then learning more about Don Hin, him doing performances, and I guess Don Hin actually broke his foot. And he was still performing. It's like he's sitting in the chair and he's like crying in pain. And I think the doctors told Don Hin not to actually perform. And he performed in with a broken foot. And I'm just like, this guy's crazy. But Don Hin, he's actually, he has this smile that radiates on his face. And you can see it and you can tell. And I think he's actually engaged and getting married. So best wishes to you and your fiance, Don. And his book's out now, Confucius, so maybe I'll be able to purchase that someday. But I think it's been selling out like hotcakes, so, you know, best wishes to him always, and someday maybe hopefully I'll meet him. And the other great thing about Don, he actually got to work with Donnie Yen. Now, Donnie Yen was originally from Boston, but who Donnie Yen is? Donnie Yen is actually this great martial arts. He's all ripped and stuff like that. He's in his 40s, and Donnie Yen's done a lot of great martial arts films, like Fist of Legend. I mean, that's just incredible. He's done a lot of films to do with China. And he's originally from Boston, but Donnie Yen, his mother, I think, taught him wushu his whole life. So he trained his whole life, and he's really great at what he does. And actually, Donnie Yen actually played Ip Man, who, you know, was actually Bruce Lee's teacher. And Donnie Yen can just you know, just bring it. I mean, the man's sexy as hell. And, you know, if I was ever to work with Donnie, and oh my gosh, I just would be, I don't know, just excited, like a little kid. I mean, another guy. But, you know, just seeing Donnie's film and Hitman, you know, you'd have to see it. I just can't sit there and explain to you about the films, but look up Hitman, IT, space, man, M-A-N, Hitman. And when you see the film, one of the films actually, Sammo Hung is actually in the film and fighting Hitman up on a table. And it's just really amazing. I mean, Sammo Hung is actually, once again, Jackie Chan's one of his brothers. So for a big guy, he actually moves. I guess that's, you know, it doesn't matter the size, but if you train in martial arts your whole life, you probably can move for the rest of your life and live a nice, long life. And, I mean, there's so many martial artists and boxers out there that give me inspiration. And, you know, I haven't, like I said, I haven't gotten TV in so long. So I mostly watch stuff on Netflix, and that's exactly what I do. I want to, you know, if I'm going to pay for something, I know it's only $7.99 a month. But if I want to watch something crappy, I want to be the one to choose it. I don't want anybody to, you know, pick something for me. Why should I have to pay for something that's going to be crap? You know, if I watch it for free, hey, I've got nothing to lose. Yeah, even paying $7.99 for Netflix. I mean, it's like a kid in a candy store. I, like, love it. Netflix, I mean, I don't know how Blockbuster. I mean, it's so sad that, you know, things that you're so used to and they just seem to just, like, go away. And I mean, even things to do with books and newspapers and stuff, it's kind of like, you know, anything kind of news, everything's, you know, tech. And I'm kind of a tech part where I actually, you know, I'm trying to learn as I go. Even the new phone that I got, the Droid phone, I didn't have to pay anything from it. You know, this $500 phone I got for free. Okay. And you have all these great apps and videos and everything like that. The thing is, they don't train you or teach you how to do this. You have to learn everything on your own. Every time I get a new phone or whatever, I have to learn as I go. I mean, it's not that. You know, it's just that having the time to take to learn how to use a new cell phone, that's the thing. And, I mean, it's great. I probably can download songs and everything like that. You can make videos, and actually it is fun because I actually videotape, you know, just my own little things, not that anything professional. I mean, what can you do off your cell phone that's professional, you know? You know, it's just not that thing. It's too shaky and stuff. It's not professional. But it's just fun to learn how to videotape, even just off your cell phone, to just get a feel. And even just filming the little bit of the waterfall in my backyard is really nice and peaceful, because then it's like, you know, if I'm in the house and I want to play the waterfall, you know, in my house, it's so soothing and so relaxing. So I get that wherever I go. If I'm like, you know, I can sit there and watch my little waterfall on my phone. Let's see. I got about 19 minutes left. Well, you know, I mean, it was a pretty decent show. I don't know if I'm having a show tomorrow night. Actually, tonight is my Thursday. Tomorrow is my Friday because Monday through Thursday I work. So it's kind of, you know, I work more hours. I have a three-day weekend. So that means I get to do films on Saturdays. And I seriously cannot wait for Saturday. It's a big scene for me, and I'm so excited. I'm just showing up. I don't know what's going to happen. I know this is big, and I can't wait for Saturday. I'm so excited. I mean, you know, once again, I never thought I'd be doing any of this at all. And to all the filmmakers out there, Adriano, Jay Giannoni, you know, the boxer, Manny Medea, you know, you guys have the heart. You guys are the go-getters. You guys have the eye of the tiger. You are the ones that matter. Speaking of eye of the tiger, I'm going to mention once again, there's a great mastermind behind a web series. I think he's very talented. His name is Cal Nguyen. He has a Facebook page. He's been doing this web series for so long. It's called Day Zero. Now, it's apocalyptic. And it's something where it's about, I think, 2112, and it's about survivors. And he actually had bought the script, but he actually made it better. So doing these web series, you know, it's something he runs. He takes money out of his own pocket to make the web series. And he just deserves so much more promotion. Now, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what people in the series that are involved in it. I don't know why. A couple people, I think they've helped promote it, but anything that I've ever been involved in, you know, it's something where any film projects, everyone's always talked about it on their Facebook or anywhere. They talk to people, and it's kind of like, I don't know why people that are, you know, part of Day Zero, more people that they should be talking about it more to help promote it. Nothing is given to you. You have to work for it. So, I mean, anybody that's involved in the Day Zero series, they should be talking about it more. Because it does matter, because what, you know, what Cal is doing, it's not really zombies, it's hybrids. You know, it's got that little bit of feel to it, but it has a cast, it has a theme, and the women are not all scantily clad. They're actually, you know, the characters are starting to grow. And it's something where it just needs a little bit more recognition. I mean, I bet if they were investors that helped out this web series, you know, to really bring it to TV, they could really bring it with the show. And he's been working on it. I mean, the guy works full-time. He edits himself. He even acts in the series in, you know, in, I think about 2 weeks. He's actually in more of the next episode. So it's Cal Newen, and he does, he's the creator of Day Zero. He wasn't the original writer, but what he did, he's like, he bought the rights to the script. So that means he can do what he wants. He can change whatever he wants. I mean, basically, he's taking it, but he's, you know, he's doing it in his vision. So he has every right to do that. And he's trying really hard. I personally know that Cal, he's got that eye of the tiger. So he's working his butt off to make sure that every episode is on the day it's supposed to be there. Now, you know, he's directing it. He's editing it. You know, he's putting most of it together. And, you know, just to do all that, he's really taking the bull by the horns. And I really wish more people would just check it out. Day Zero has a Facebook page. You can actually see the episodes. I mean, from the beginning of the first episode, you know, to what it is now, the characters are starting to grow. But, you know, after the first series, what is going to happen? I mean, who knows? I mean, I think if people put money into the show, into Day Zero, I bet it can be really become even better. It's already decent. And once again, when I say something is decent, what I'm referring to is a lot of the indie films and stuff out there, even some of the web series, is crappy. So when you have a decent thing like Day Zero, it's something that people would want to watch. So it's something, even if you want to check out Day Zero. Actually, the picture has one of the main characters. I think he has blonde hair, and it's like it shows his face. But, you know, you can check out Day Zero, the web episodes on there, and you can check out Cal. You can friend him on Facebook and, you know, check out the episodes, the web series. And, you know, I think Cal actually wants to go beyond this, the typical, stereotypical, you know, Asian thing. You know, he wants to break free from it. And, I mean, I don't blame it, and I think a lot of, you know, typecasting is set in Hollywood because not every Asian, you know, is a martial artist or a Donnie Yen or Jackie Chan. They're normal people. You know, it's kind of like amazing. I think Hollywood sometimes doesn't want to give some credit to different cultures. And I've seen so many different type of films, like, swear to God, I'm not going to lie, when I saw Blood and Bone, now you can look this up, I mean, oh my gosh, Ben Ramsey, I mean, his vision, I mean, just damn. I mean, his directing, his, you know, catching certain things with the stars, Michael J. White, and let me say, Michael J. White, oh my Lord, maybe I should end on this note because I'm going to get all hot and bothered. Michael J. White, he's like in his 40s, you have to look up Michael J. White, I'm not kidding. Three words, Michael, J, J-A-I, White. When you look up Michael J. White, I mean, his Facebook page and YouTube, this guy is a big brick wall. Oh, yum, yum. Talk about the muscles on Michael J. White. Oh, my gosh. I swear, if I ever get on a Michael J. White, I think I would lose my focus. I think my mouth would drop, and, you know, I would swear I would try to focus on my lines, but I mean, seriously, you look at Michael J. White, he's huge. Oh, my God. How is this guy so huge? What does he eat for breakfast? I want to know, too. Michael J. White, if you were listening to my show or you were calling in right now, I'd be asking how you fly. The guy in Blood and Bone, I mean, in the films, I mean, this guy's big. And when he's doing the fight scene, Michael J. White, he flies. He has no wires or harnesses. How does a big guy like them fly? I really want to know, Michael J. White, how do you fly? How do you pull a Tony Jaa? You're just big and just move. You know, you don't think, looking at this guy, he's that fast. Yeah, yeah, Michael J. White, he's that fast, let me tell you. And, you know, props to Ben Ramsey. You know, I'm hoping he comes out with another film soon. I really do. I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe not another Blood and Bone, but Ben Ramsey, you know, man, I wish you all the best. You got to bring it. If you can bring it in Blood and Bone, then, damn, you can bring it in another film. I know you can because you got the balls to do it, and you're just a very creative person, a very, you know, a creative soul, and I know it. And, Ben, I've seen you on Facebook. Your your stuff that you write and stuff like that, you crazy. Not in a bad way, but you're a thinker, Ben, and I like that. That's awesome, and that's what sexy is. You know what sexy is? Intelligent men. Men that have brains, women that have brains, and it's something where, you know, that can turn me on more than anything, brains. When someone's got brains, yes, because if you don't have brains, if your brains are in your butt, you know, you may as well just stay home, because, you know, I'm really not too interested in, you know, anybody that's ignorant or fools or anything like that. I like people that are hardworking, you know, that actually are go-getters. So it's something where, once again, to all the people out there that have dreams, that have goals, nothing is impossible in this world. If there's people, you know, that are saying something, who are they to say anything? They're just saying that because they don't want you to do it. So when you start doing your dreams, they think you can't do it, just smile and just keep doing it. That's all you got to do. Anyway, I think I'm going to sign off. But, of course, once again, I'm going to sign off with the song The Fighter from one of my nephews and his brother, Cardiac and Sacrifice. It's the song The Fighter, and you can actually find that on YouTube. And actually, this is one of my theme songs, The Fighter, by my nephew. It's in my film that's dedicated to Jackie Chan, to thank him. It's, you know, it's a film called The Dishwasher. And actually, the film The Fighter, I mean, the song The Fighter, it's actually dedicated to Sarah, who passed away a little while ago from cancer. And I never met her in person, but from what I know, she was an angel, and she touched many people's life. And the only thing I could say is why Sarah is with in heaven now is because God wanted an angel. And that's the only thing I could think of, because she was a young mom, and she had so much going for her. And I'll never understand it, and the only thing I can think of is God wanted an angel, and now he's, you know, Sarah's probably watching over everybody, and she was just a beautiful young woman, a wonderful mother, and many people love Sarah. So my song, my theme song, that's in my film for The Dishwasher, where, you know, The Fighter was actually supposed to be for the film, The Fighter, Mickey Ward's film, but I guess people didn't think that that song was good enough for them. But you know what? This song, The Fighter, is going in my film, The Dishwasher, and it's being dedicated, and it's going to get to Jackie Chan. So how do you like them apples? Anyway, I hope everyone has a good night, and remember, if you have a dream, you just go for it.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb on my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Meet them head to head, I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stop and have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
than the legend list. So pound the myth, cause you know I ain't about to quit. I got my back against the ropes, I'm a warrior kid. I say,
I don't think they're ready. I ain't gonna stop, no.